Anybody need an outline called Making Decisions? Does anybody want to turn theirs back in? You've already looked at it, you know. Okay. Bert, how do you, at part of that first song, you made it sound like there were about 10 people singing when you close your eyes and you there were women, and how do you do that? You should be in the talent show tomorrow. Split personality. It was good. Well, Gary's story about cigarettes, if some of you get some, bring them tonight, the candy cigarettes, but it reminded me of a story of a worship leader, and Francine's story of a worship leader reminded me of the story of a worship leader, same story. So I felt I had to tell it. I went in the chapel, that's the name of a church in Akron, Ohio, where some of you are from, and I am too, and I was putting my sermon notes on the pulpit. It was like 20 minutes before the first service, and Miller, that's his first name, was leading the choir. A choir is a large group of people that sing together up here. They've been replaced by ooh-ah singers, but ooh-ah, ooh-ah, they sing that way, but I digress. And I was putting my notes there. Miller, that's his first name, was leading the choir. It was 20 minutes early. And his two boys were right where you guys are, right in the front row. And they were smoking cigarettes. They were like 7 and 8. And the cigarettes were coffee stirrers. But they were sitting there smoking coffee stirrers and arm wrestling with their hands that were close to each other. So they're smoking there, and I just looked down and laughed. I didn't say, you know what, smoking, no, it was just so cute. And I thought of my brother, who taught me to do bad things like that in church or in life. He was a year older than I am. And I was born without a sin nature. He had a double dose. And so it was often a problem because if I obeyed him. But anyway, so I looked down and just laughed about it, and coincidentally, and I need to tell you, if you went to the chapel, I bet you remember this, Miller was always saying, we're going to worship forever in heaven. We're going to worship forever, and he meant serve God and love his creation and be everywhere, but worship him indeed, and melt, and praise him. But that very week, honest, again, I will always tell you when I'm exaggerating. That very week, when Miller and I were meeting, as we always did, one-on-one, to talk about life and church and next week, he said, I got to tell you what happened last night. I went into Tim's room. Tim was the younger one, sitting where you are. Is it Grant? Yeah. Sitting where Grant is. And he said, Miller went into his room because he was crying, and he heard him, and he said, why are you crying? He said, because I'm going to go to heaven someday. He said, well, why would you cry about that? He said, because all we're going to do is worship forever and ever. He pictured himself sitting in the front row in heaven, his dad leading the choir and getting ready in a worship service forever and ever and ever, which would get old. You know that. But I thought that was cute. Now, the cigarette story, Gary. Tell a story tonight about beer, and I got a story about that. Now, I'm going to read you the context. If you want to turn to it, it's Proverbs chapter 3. For everything that I'm saying, and today we're going to go fast, and we're going to tie it to tonight, and then tomorrow we're going to do, again, the voice of God and how he speaks through Jesus Christ. But I'm going to spend today with a little bit of risk of losing three of you who think you don't make any more decisions because you're over 60 or 50. But my point is in this, we're all making decisions every day, and God's will is not about where you live or where you work. It includes that, but it's about how we treat other people and how we help our grandkids or our friends make decisions and how we model what it means to follow Christ, for sure. And I was brought up, so you know my background, and I bet it's true of two-thirds of us or a half of us, a background that God has a will for your life, and your job is to find it. God, help us find God's will for our life. My dad was brought up that way in Burlington, Iowa, in a fundamentalist Swedish Baptist church where they were tough on everything, and so were his parents, and he made a public commitment to go into the ministry, went to Bob Jones University, second year met my mother, who was from near Harrisburg, in Harrisburg, and they eloped in the middle of the year to get married, were kicked out of Bob Jones, of course, and came back to Harrisburg to live and to start a model family with three kids. His church, who had dedicated him to the ministry, said he was therefore out of God's will. His father said he was clearly out of God's will. His father was a tough, wonderful person, but a Swedish Baptist who had lots of rules for life. And so my father lived his life from then on feeling he was out of God's will. And he didn't say that much because he went to church and those things, but he worked on the railroad, failed at Tucker Carr, if any of you remember that, quit a good job to make a million in Tucker Carr, and it went under. That led to lots of pain in our family and divorce and fighting, lots of things. And he's living his life in the secondary will of God, permissive will of God is what his church told him. Churches ruin people sometimes with legalism. But no joy with Christ, and he was a fun guy in terms of physical and staying in shape and having fun in life, but not close to the Lord. When he was 46, I read to him, I realized that this way of life was his. And we read some verses one time, one-on-one, one of the second time I ever saw him cry. First time was when my sister died of a horrible accident on Father's Day at his house when they were divorced. And I read about David, and if you know what David did, it included murder and adultery and a lot of other junk. And if you read about him and take the right verses, including Acts and some others in the New Testament, God said he's a man after my own heart, and he's a perfect man. Whoa. And my dad cried and realized whatever the past and whatever decisions he had made, in God's eyes, you can live in the present, in the perfect will of God, and obeying Him and finding joy in His presence, like was just sung. And He'll be your shepherd and lead us, like was just sung. And that's sort of a fetish in my heart, and maybe I exaggerate, but I think many Christians think that the guy up front is in God's will, really, and you can do a little bit. That's baloney, and all of us are meant to reflect His glory and live perfectly in His will today, no matter what you did yesterday. So that's a hobby horse, and if we can tonight, we'll take a few minutes for questions. But I just think we need to pass on to our kids and grandkids that the will of God, we already know, is this. Do this, and He'll do what those songs said, shepherd you and lead you. And in the rearview mirror, like me, you'll see His tremendous guidance. And in the front windshield, you'll think, what should I do now? What's the best choice I can make right now? I need wisdom. All that to introduce why we're doing this. Proverbs 3. I'm coming to some famous verses that I bet half of us have memorized in 5. But in 3, verse 1, my son, my child, my daughter, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart, look how this is, let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. That's all stuff we decide, God promises. Verse 3, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. So we have a responsibility. Bind steadfast love and faithfulness around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Whoa. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths, is the way I memorized it. A better translation, make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. I was taught those verses 5 and 6. If you trust the Lord, He will direct your paths. He will tell you what to do, show you what to do. What does God want you to do? Well, He'll direct you if you'll trust Him. In the context, they're about obeying God, seeking to do what He wants you to do, binding some things about your heart. They're all personal choices. And then is the promise, He will direct, He'll make your path, your paths will be straight, looking back, if you will obey Him and bind these things on your heart and keep them. There is nothing here about listening to the voice of God or making your life so spiritual that you know exactly what to do every time because you hear it in your head. Now, at the risk of offending somebody about your memory, I want to go through where I went last night and show how it relates to this morning. I'm not wasting time. We're talking about what is the proper view, and there's plenty of room for difference. I'm into not arguing about this. If you disagree with me, it's fine. We both have to find our way on this issue. How do you listen to God? Wouldn't we like Him to talk to us? He never said to me, Mary Janine. Neither did He say, Mary Cheryl or somebody else. No, but looking back, we feel like God was our shepherd and directed our path. So there are many people who think, and some of you are welcome to think this, that He gives direct voice like He did to Samuel. I was trying to say the three areas where He speaks loudly in today's world are, and this one I want to say it again, is so huge. Don't miss it. Don't be nonchalant about creation and with your kids. And if you have, second way is His Word. Third way, of course, is Jesus Christ, where He has spoken loudly through a person. We believe in the evangelical church that I think probably a lot of us are a part of, that the Word of God is inspired, is actual, guided by the Holy Spirit, and that the Son was fully God, had always lived, never became a human being. Don't ever say Jesus always lived. It's fine if you do, but no, He didn't. But the Son always lived and became a human being, took on the name Jehovah is our salvation. So our heart is to obey those three right away. We said there are a lot of other voices. I hear voices all the time. So do you. The most magnificent creation, or tied with a billion other things, is conscience. God gave us conscience to help guide us. But you got to educate the conscience, not by strangers, but by the good shepherd who gave His life. Now, our part is to obey His Word, which is so clear. I have had many people in my life. I've pastored a long time, 43 years, and now coach pastors for 10 years, and I love it. But one of the hardest issues to know what to say is when somebody says to you, and I was trying to write down some ways, and I can't remember many, God told me to tell you this. Well, that's not what God, I know what God wants this church to do. Okay. That's a hard one, but I'm trying to say that whatever else you believe, we must obey His Word and start there. With creation, we worship. Again, don't look at a new baby and say, what at least in your heart, say to God, magnificent, I honor you. Don't look at Scripture without saying, I'll do that. I want to do that. It's always a struggle. Welcome to the club. To Jesus Christ, to trust and follow Him as Lord, and I say it, I think, every time I talk, don't forget we trust Him about what He did on the cross. We're not spooky about this. It's a real fact. He died with every one of your sins on His back, every one of them. Stop fretting about your sins, even if they were as bad as David's. If covered by Christ, you trust Him and you've put your faith in Him, it's covered. I paid for that, He'll say in heaven, if Satan would accuse you like he did Job. I paid for that. It's settled. What else? So we trust Him, all our judgments of sin cared for. And just as important, I think, to teach our kids is His righteousness covers us like that. Now live in combination. Is that you? Is this you? It shows. Not because you say, this is Jesus, not me. Just you follow Him. Gentle shepherd, lead me. And He has already given directions. Then I came to, when it comes to guidance, be careful. And that's what we're going to talk about the rest of today and this evening. Be careful because you will hear voices and you will have friends who say things to you. And sometimes you will freeze and not make a decision when God, I think, in the Scripture would say, like in Proverbs 3, will do the right thing. Steadfast love and faithfulness. So I want to go today to this outline that you have in front of you. Then, how do we make decisions in these areas? And I told you about this is the extreme. Secretary, a wonderful lady, who would go like this. Should we buy a new car? I did this last night. And she'd say, this is not a good luck charm or a book to, like a Ouija board to make answers. This is a way of life. But still, we must decide. How do we make decisions that are in line with God's voice? Some people say, not just charismatics, strong evangelicals, and you should weigh our opinions, that your job is mainly to say, God, what should I do? And I challenge you to think, maybe God's saying to you, you choose. Because at the end of life, you will not be judged on how often you heard my voice, you will be judged on all your decisions. 2 Corinthians. Everything you have done in your body, whether it be good or bad, and that's about accountability and rewards. So let me give you these reminders. God's sovereign will calls for trust. There are three aspects of God's will that I'm just going to refer to, and this does relate to His voice, but His sovereign will is that He's over everything. Good luck trying to change that. You can't do it. Just trust Him. Now, I'd like to tell you how Iran and North Korea fit into that sovereign plan of God. I have no idea. Join me in your Bibles at James chapter 4. If you'd like to look there, I'm going to stay there for about 8 minutes. James chapter 4. It's right after Hebrews. Hebrews, James, Peter, John, Jude, Revelation. These are famous verses. I was taught a very clear way about this. Come now. Verse 13. Come now. That's a way to say, listen up. Come now. Hey, you guys. Hey, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town, let's say Maranatha, Muskegon, and spend a year there, spend a week there, 4 days there, and of trade and make a profit. Don't do that. I was taught that. Don't do that. Instead, you should say, if God wills, I will do that. If it's God's will, I will do that. So you better find out God's will and then do it. That's what I'm reading ahead. Verse 14. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, to him it is sin. I was taught, so were half of you, I bet you. I bet you a frosty. No, but we were taught, and this scared me. Don't you dare say, I'm going to go to Grace College or Grace Seminary. You say, if the Lord wills, if God shows you that it's His will to go to, that's where I went and Janine went, Grace College and then seminary, then you do it. So my job, should I accept this assignment, is to find what God's thinking. And I say to people, and I know this sounds smart, I'm here with friends, good luck. I'm going to tell you what God's thinking. Actually, Isaiah said, that's impossible. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. But just hear me and decide, and if you differ, you don't need to tell me, but we probably differ on candy corn. I think candy corn is good for you. God grows the corn, we should eat it. That's what I'm saying. So, look at the context here. Short term. Don't just say today or tomorrow we'll do this. He doesn't say don't do that, but don't do it with the idea that you'll be here today or tomorrow. That's the context. Life is a vapor. I was taught that when I was 15, and I thought, that's no way true. You know how long it was till you went from 15 to 16 and you could drive? Or from 32 to 33 and you could date? In our fundamentalist church, you weren't allowed to date till you were 32, so I left the church when I was 12. Short term, today. Don't say today or tomorrow. We will make long-term decisions and spend a year. Say, if the Lord wills. You have to decide. I believe the best interpretation of every commentator I read, I think everyone I read, is if you're alive. Life is a mess. Don't you dare live your life like I don't need God. You don't even know if you'll be here tomorrow. So when you plan your life, you say, I'm under God's sovereign will, and I want to obey Him and trust Him. And I think if people freeze like I did for a while, and don't say I'm going to do this or I'm going to be a pastor, if I know if it's God's will. How did you know it was God's will to be a pastor, to be a carpenter? One guy at the chapel said to me once, I asked him to do something in the church. I don't think he's here. I would say it if he's here. I asked him to do something in the church. He said, I can't do that. I'm just a carpenter. Serious. I said, do you know any carpenters in the Bible? I did. Come on. God's sovereign will, we trust. But the issue in this James 4 passage is when you make your decisions, always. And when you get up in the morning, always, and when you go to love somebody or hate somebody or get in a fight at church or start a divisive thing at the church, you ought to say, you know what, I'm not even sure I'll be here tomorrow. I better use today. He doesn't say don't make plans long term or short term. You ought to say, I'm going to be at seniors retreat next year. You ought to say, we're going to church Sunday, or we're going to go see our daughter or our son, or I'm going to go get married if you're single. You ought to know where you're going to go and who it is. But if not, just start driving. Make some phone calls. Short term and long term, spend a year. He doesn't say don't do that. He just says always live your life knowing life is very brief down here, so all of James is the whole book is about obeying God, doing His. Don't say you have faith. Show me your works. So you decide on that. But the sovereign will of God, you can't do anything about. You don't know if you're here tomorrow. Martin Luther, I always quote him on this when I'm at a place four or five times. You only have 2 days. I think it's a great reminder. You only have 2 days. Today, that would be this day, Monday, and that day. Look up sometime in your concordance that day in the Bible. There's about five of them. And it's always that day, the day of Jesus Christ. That day, the day you stand and give account of your life. That day, the day when Christ returns to the earth. You only have today and that day. We really don't know if Tuesday's going to come for any of us. But it, you know the horrors of accidents and cancer and everything. So the sovereign will issue is just trust Him and obey Him in everything you know and go that way. His moral will, there are three kinds of the will of God, ends one way to say it. One is His sovereign will over everything. What can you do about it? Not a thing. Trust Him. Now you can pray, and God does change His mind. There's a number of incidents in the Bible. But for the most part, you live your life knowing, I'm under the will of God that's mysterious and unknown. I'm going to obey Him because He's in charge, baby. The second area of the moral will of God, and I won't take time on these verses, but it's about the Bible. Be a workman. Be a student who knows enough about the Bible that you know to do it. When Bert was singing that great song about shepherding, I was thinking, I hope we all know this is not God asking Jesus Christ to be our shepherd to tell us what to do. Now what to do? Use this illustration. You only have 12 more minutes. Say, no, that's not how it works. Our responsibility is know the Word of God, study it, and be a workman in it, and His moral will is right here. You want to know what God thinks? Here it is. He wrote it down. And everybody has taught others, if you obey what you know, you'll look back on the other ears. The result is you will live out or prove the will of God. Romans 12:2, dedicate your life, 12:1, present your body as a living sacrifice, that you may prove what is the perfect will of God. I was taught that means that you will find what God wants you to do. That's not what the verse means. It means that you will live out the will of God. If you present your body at age 60 or 50 or 70 or however high we go here, if you present your body, meaning live each day like you're here for God and for others and His love, even if you're crippled, even if you're half dead someday, and we'll all be there someday, you will live out the will of God. He will be pleased. Dad, you can live today in the perfect will of God. Give Him your heart. And He did, and He found more joy the rest of His life from 46 on to walk with Christ. I beg you to know that the moral will of God is not, dear God, what do you want me to do? Now, we added a lot of things in church, and some of them you have to add. The church I grew up in, good church, kind people. One of the Sunday school teachers told us, if you're in a movie when Jesus comes, you won't go to heaven. So I came out of King Kong scared to death. Honest, I thought, I looked around, honest, to see if Tim LaHaye were there interviewing people about the return of Christ, because I know he wanted to write another book. That's crazy. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, as long as you're not in a movie when He comes. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him and doesn't go to movies shall have eternal life. That's crazy. We joked in our high school group, this isn't nice, but that we didn't believe in premarital sex because it could lead to dancing. Think it through, but don't write it down, please. So His moral will calls for obedience. We already know His will. Most things in life are covered right here. Okay, keep going on a hobby horse. His shepherding will, follow it. He promises to guide us, But then is the question, how do you hear his voice for when he guides you? We'll spend all our time on this evening, but when the Bible says, ask God for wisdom, it doesn't say, ask God for answers. And if you pray, and I say this with high respect, if you pray, dear God, show me what kind of car to buy, go for it. My opinion would be, he's saying in heaven, just obey my rules about not going into debt too much and think things through. And if you want to drive a Mazda, go ahead. That's what he said to me. No, I'm not going to live in a jail. Dear God, what color car? You all know the story about the lady in Akron that said, if God wants me to buy that dress, there'll be a parking place right in front of the store. Does God care what dress she buys? I don't know. I don't think so. Can you see God turn into an angel or to his son and saying, look what she bought. She's not going to look good in that dress. She said, if there's a parking place in front of the store, I know he wants me to buy it. And then she told me, the second time I drove around, there was a parking place. Honest, I said, just buy the dress. You know you're going to buy it. Wisdom is what he tells us to do. He promises to guide. Again, looking back, I made stuttering decisions about seminary and about Janine, and we took 3 years to decide, should we marry? But looking back, we'd say, way to go. Thank you, God. What a good shepherd. Looking forward, I even asked her if she'd marry me in a stuttering way. Don't tell. So, God's will, his sovereign will, don't try to figure it out. King Fu, or whatever his name is at North Korea, I don't know what he's going to do next, and I'm counting on Dennis Rodman to get this thing solved. He's a strong Christian. Bert Kettinger discipled him and taught him to sing. And anyway, he's in that backup group on the tape, right? He did his wedding. Which one? Okay. Sovereign will, moral will, we know. And then the personal shepherding will, which I put together and you have to decide. And tonight we'll talk about that because God's so good, he really doesn't want to trick not one soul in this room. And I think we need to help our kids. And I don't really want to put it on grandkids because we're all making decisions every day if we want to be bitter or mean or kind. And, you know, of course we are. So he says in James, don't say we're going to do all this without thinking, I'm under the sovereign will of God. I better obey him. He is king. And how do I know what I should do? Well, first do all of this and then make a wise choice. How shall I then decide? I want to get these into me. God's sovereign will calls for trust. He does all things after the counsel of his own will. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Nobody tells him what to do. Why is Trump president? Who's going to be the next president? God knows all that. He puts down kings and puts up kings, and that would include presidents, but I don't know how that applies. He also lets people vote. I just think we need to be careful in all those things, but we can take care of our own lives. If I got in a car and a guy said to me, I don't know how to go to Muskegon, and I don't even want to use a GPS, I'd say, I'm not riding with you. If I got on an airplane and the guy says, I don't know how to fly the airplane, I'm counting on God to show me which knob to pull. You pull the knobs on an airplane? I think you do. Pull this one. I'm off that plane. So are you. So neither should we go through life saying, I'm going to ask God to tell me what to do next, or whether to hit the guy, or whether to say something. No, no, he's already told us what to do. Don't hit him. Don't gossip. Okay. Let me say it again. There's sovereign will of God. There's moral will of God. We already know. Does that include helping your grandkids know who they should date? No. But how they should date, yes. It's very clear in Scripture about getting married. Does he tell us who to get married? No. He allows us to choose these things in life, but he tells us to marry a believer, and he tells us what kind of friends they have, and these are so important in our lives. And we worship and trust and hope about sovereignty. Well, I hope I'm alive tomorrow. So do you. But we're under the sovereign will of God. The moral will says, know the word, be a workman of it, and then prove or live out the will of God as you choose to obey him. Our promise is in the Scriptures that he will guide us. He will shepherd our lives. Sing the song. None of us can sing it as well as Bert, I suppose, but gentle shepherd, I will follow you. How do you do that? Well, some people would say you listen for his voice. I would agree, but here's his voice for sure. He'll guide us with our conscience, and I know when I'm sinning because my conscience tells me, or the word tells me. You do too. He's really provided every way we could do this. But I get scared when someone says, God told me to tell you this, or God told me in this book exactly what to write down. How can you question that? Okay, I'll do it. Whatever it is, I'll do it if it God told you. But I'll probably say, I don't believe that. I wouldn't say it so candidly. I'd say, well, tell me what you're thinking I should do, and I'll have to make a choice. Everybody is going to be judged not on the basis of what they heard in their head, but on what they read in the Bible and have committed their life to related to Jesus Christ. I'll start here tonight, but let me just say these. All these just happen to have the will of God in the verse. They're on your notes, so you might want to look them up sometime. It's not the will of God, it's not his hope that anybody should perish. He wants us to believe in Jesus Christ. It's the will of God that we would obey the Holy Spirit in every part of life, be filled with the Spirit. This is God's will concerning you. That means every part of your life. Your finances, your love life, your relationship to people, your connection with problems at the church, your neighbor love. This is the will of God, your holiness. Don't think that's mysterious. It's just being you're set apart to obey Christ and do what he says. The will of God, that you would do good. If you see a chance to do good, do it. It's the will of God. Don't wait for a voice to pick up that piece of paper, or to say hello to somebody from a different culture or race. Build a bridge. Just do good any chance you get. And it's even, there's an interesting one that just says that the will of God is that we would be thanksgiving, giving thanks and gratitude people. Is that you? Is that me? That's a lifetime struggle for all of us. There's no questioning. God's sovereign will calls for trust, his moral will for obedience, his shepherding will. We make wise decisions. If you prefer to just listen for a voice, I'm not going to argue with you, but I just be careful. He said a whole lot. In Peter's writing, he said once, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Whoa. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. God has given us everything we need, his Holy Spirit, the Scriptures, for life and godliness. The Spirit of God lives within us, will lead our lives, help us make decisions. We pray for wisdom, and we live in combination. And this evening, God willing, we should say, we will try to look at how you work out those things. And I grant you this. It will be affirming to many of us because some of you have lived your lives your whole life. Some of you, the last 10 years, maybe you became a follower of Christ. whether you followed these exact ways or not, you've done it, and thank you. But let's keep making wise decisions. Shall we pray? Thank you, God, for the grace of Jesus Christ that changed our destiny, for the grace and forgiveness that cleaned up our past, for the wonder of the love of Christ that shepherds us and promises not to leave us alone. As you pray, just thank God for Jesus Christ. If you're sure of connection with Him and forgiveness and righteousness as a gift, not something we earn, just thank Him. If you're not sure, even at this stage of life, say something like, I'm going to find out if He's making this up or if it's true. And discuss it, please. I'd love to. For your shepherding in our past, many of us, probably all of us, look back and we say, my, you have been good to us through these secret ways of life and through your sovereignty, too. Thank you very much. We love you. Right, everyone? Amen. And we need you. Amen.